Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. CJ and Bubble Boy are planning to come into the studio here momentarily. We got a big show today. You know, a lot's been happening in the last week, on a couple different fronts. So it's going to be a little different show today. I'm definitely going to ask for your input today at 888-88-SCUBA. Feel free to chime in and share your thoughts as well. But the two things we're going to delve, well, the main thing we're going to delve into today is Shark Week. But before we, you know, get the Scuba Radio couch out and open it up for therapy, I want to talk a little bit about Robin Williams for a couple reasons. Because, believe it or not, he has some ties to the dive industry. Robin Williams, from what I know, I don't know if he was a certified diver, but I do know from our buddy Bob Evans at Force Fins that he shares, he's one of the only two people other than myself that have a pair of red sparkled Force Fins. Did you remember that story, Bill?
I don't remember that story. I know that you have a pair of red sparkle Force Fins. He also gave a pair to Robin Williams?
Evidently, yes. Him and...
Is it because they're both from space? Because he thinks that Robin Williams is actually from Ork?
It could be. That
Bob
might
Evans
be.
Is out there, man.
But, you know, the mermaid from Splash, what's her name? Hannah.
Daryl
Hannah. She supposedly has a pair. Sylvia Earle also, I believe, has a pair. And evidently, Bob Evans from Force Fins gave Robin Williams a pair of Flying Force Fins, Sparkled Edition or something as well. So I'm amongst a small little group that has it. So I feel connected a little bit to him. And I know that he does at least snorkel because he did get some fins for himself and I believe some of his family members from Bob Evans and the gang at Force Fins out there in Santa Barbara. So there's one connection to Robin Williams to the dive industry. And obviously, you know, everybody's been thinking about this, but I'm going to share a little story with you that doesn't really have much to do with diving, but I have been fortunate enough to meet some pretty cool people in the dive industry and, you know, celebrities here and there. You know, this gig does have its perks. And believe it or not, there are some interesting people that pay attention to this show, which kind of shocks me, especially when it's not my parents or a family member.
Or your probation officer.
Yeah. All right. So back in the day of, my beginning days of radio.
Hey, I remember back then, Sonny. I remember back when you had to crank up the old wireless. Get out your license, put it right on top there, yeah, so in case the FCC came by.
Okay, it wasn't that far back.
You and Marconi maybe, were sitting there.
It was about 20 years. Shut up, okay? Just shut up. But I just come to Orlando, and I had gotten wind that Robin Williams was going to be performing a surprise engagement at the Disney property down at downtown Disney at a place called the Comedy Warehouse. And I was fortunate enough to get this news because of my connections in the, in the radio industry. So I went in there and sure enough, I see Robin Williams, George Lucas and Bobcat Goldthwait right there in the middle of the, arena in the seats. Nobody had really noticed that they were there except me and a couple other people maybe. And sure enough, at the end of the regular show, the people up on stage brought him up, and he did 20 minutes of stand-up improv that was probably the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I had never laughed so hard in my life. And, you know, that was a treat in itself. However, check this out. After that show, after that performance, I guess, you know, this room held like 200-300 people. Robin Williams gets off stage. He goes to the exit and he stands by the exit door and literally shakes every single person's hand, poses for pictures, whatever they want. He talks to them. He does this in the Florida heat. This is the middle of August. He's dripping with sweat after performing for 20 minutes under the hot lights and in the Florida heat. And I never seen anybody as so gracious in my life. I was like, my God, this guy's a superstar. This, by the way, at this point, it was just before he was ready to release the film Hook. So he had been working with the Disney folks and George Lucas and these guys putting together this film. And that's why he was in town doing this, I guess, at the time. But, I mean, he was already bigger than life. I mean, he was this big superstar. He sits there and shakes every single person's hand as they cross outside the venue. And I skip it because I'm like, you know, I just respected the guy that he just performed for us for free. And we got to, you know, witness this amazing talent. And there were so many people that wanted to get, you know, close to him, get his picture. I was like, ah, you know what? Let's go. You know, no one recognizes George Lucas. Let's go over him and get our picture taken with him. And I go up and say, hey, George, you're a big fan. Nobody knows it's him. He just was kind of under the radar. He's like, and they're sitting there, his little party of two or three are waiting for Robin Williams to finish so they can leave. You could tell he was just, you know, like, okay, come on, Robin, whatever, man, really? And I go up to him, I say, can we get our picture? He goes, oh God, okay. Anyway, I was like, I almost turned around and was like, ah, screw it. I don't need a picture that bad, but I get the picture anyway. But he was kind of a jerk. You know, George Lucas was kind of a jerk. So anyway, but back to Robin Williams. He does this, and it just, you know, made an impression on me, right? I was like, wow, look at that guy. He was so gracious, and God forbid, you know, if anyone ever comes up to me, I'm definitely going to be more like George Lucas, but that's just my personality. Okay? No, but...
Screw them bastards.
Yeah, no, that's... You know, I could probably pick up a thing or two for how he acted. But here we are, 20 years later. I'm in New York City with Mermaid Tony, and she had never been to the city before, and we actually scored some tickets to Robin Williams, who was performing in a play. And I was like, hey, let's go to the play. You're going to see New York for the first time. It was a great play, very intense. He did an amazing performance, and I said, you know what? 20 years ago, Robin Williams shook the hands of every single person who left this venue, Tony. Let's wait by the exit stage door, and I bet you there's a good chance you're going to be able to shake his hand or say hi to him or something. Sure enough, right, you know, we go out there, we get there, she gets her picture taken with him, gets an autograph on the playbill. He does this for every single person standing outside the theater.
They're not all as hot as Tony the Mermaid, though, right?
No, but he still did this for everyone there on the street, and it was a big group of people. And it just goes to show, I mean, someone that big and could still be that gracious, it really made a big impression on me. So when we lost him this week, I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, wow, a guy that was so giving like that, we had to lose him. And to boot, I know he had some time, you know, some tie to diving because he had some force fins. All right, I put it out there. Because unfortunately, what happened, whatever demons he was dealing with, you know, it's obviously sad. And our hearts go out to his family and everybody, and we feel bad in that sense. So I share that with you for what it's worth. Take it that way, and we'll move on to other stuff. Fair?
Fair enough.
All right. Shark Week. Now it's time to vent our anger.
You are a master of the segue, by the way.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You know, it is. Yeah, it was a very emotional week this week because of that. Because, you know, you got the Robin Williams thing. You know, Sunday night, I don't know why I was drawn to watch Shark Week for the kickoff of Shark Week Sunday evening. But for some goofy reason, I mean, I'd given up on Shark Week like seven, eight years ago.
The year after they came out with the promotional material, which looked like it had been bitten by a shark.
Yeah.
The year after that.
I mean,
we were working with them that year.
What's that?
I remember when it used to be an informational thing, and it used to be, you know, sharks aren't that bad, but it didn't get the ratings. It just did not get the ratings. So what they've done is now they've gone with the sensational route and the Sharknado garbage and the
Sharknado's not them.
That's I understand it's not them, but it's the same idea. It's
I wish they would go the route of Sharknado at this point. Seriously. Because I got to tell you, I mean, I kind of lost faith in Shark Week many years ago. It kind of got beyond the conservation efforts of sharks, and then it got into the sensationalistic stuff, and the good versus the bad ratio. The bad just seemed to be getting heavier and heavier on my scale, so I kind of gave up on it. But last year, they had that Megalodon show,
which was a
new genre called a fakeumentary.
Right. And, well, and they've done that with the mermaid thing, too.
Exactly, and that was on Animal Planet.
Right.
And, you know, and these shows, I mean, it was kind of cheesy. And, well, we're going to get into this because I got a lot to say. And if you want to chime in, please do at 888-88-SCUBA. And we're going to work through this together. Yes, it's Scuba Radio Shark Week Therapy. Today on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
What a beautiful morning for fishing. There's one. There's a fish right there.
Got it.
Well, I think that's about the limit for our fishing permit.
Tell me, are you a bad fish too? Are you a bad fish too?
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I don't think there's any such thing as a bad fish, really. And that includes sharks. But watching Shark Week, I'm not so sure you'd come away with that same feeling. Now, Jimmy the Bubble Boy and CJ have joined Bill, the producer, and myself here in the studio. Guys, how are you?
Doing good.
I'm just now recovering from Bug Fest 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that hasn't...
I feel good.
That hasn't worn off yet, has it?
I feel good.
At least you're recovering.
He still's got a... I think you're still a little hot to the touch. You got the bug fever.
I have a healthy glow.
A healthy glow? Is that what it is? It could be. Yeah. And we're going to get some more of that in here.
And too. I was just listening to the podcast from those shows.
Yes.
I was on the Neil Watson segment.
Mm-hmm.
You were judging the cook-off.
Right. So, there's some new pictures up there at Scuba
Radio. Good stuff. Yeah, I saw that. You were cheating during the...
Cheating?
Tasting contest.
No, that wasn't cheating.
Judging?
That was just,
I'm talking about you were judging.
What are the other judges? I'm going to make sure they got their rating correct. Anyway, no.
We're
get
back to the present.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about lobsters some today, too. But right now, let's focus on Shark Week, because now here's the thing. This is a double-edged sword, because on one side of the coin, you don't necessarily want to talk about Shark Week if you don't like it, because you don't want to give them the extra publicity. But the reality is they've had the best record or best ratings ever this year. It's went up again. And unfortunately, the stuff they're putting out right now...
That's because people are stupid.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's bringing in the ratings. And when you say it's because people are stupid, I'm not so sure it's that as much as they're doing sensationalistic type stuff that is scaring the bejesus out of people that don't know any better. They're being fooled. I mean, here's the thing. The one show that really... set me off was the kickoff show. It was called The Wrath of Submarine, which was supposedly based off of an incident off the coast of South Africa at Seal Island, where a whale-watching boat had a problem, crashed on the rocks, and then a giant shark they called Submarine, up to 30 feet long or over 30 feet long, ate three people, and they had it on... They had it on film. They had it. They had the footage from
just
people's
three
cell phones, and they showed this in this show. In this, it ends up it was a fakeumentary. Now I knew it right out of the box what I was watching, because I was like, "There's no way this is real." And I was thinking immediately back, like, "Oh my God, they're doing another Megalodon show," because last year they did this, and they said they had this footage of the prehistoric Megalodon shark that had been extinct for millions of years, but there's new proof that it could still be lurking in our, you know, the deepest parts of the ocean or whatever, right? And that was a big hoax. It was all a big hoax, like the mermaid show. But here's the difference in what they did last year and this year. Megalodon was very frustrating to see, but it was so... far-fetched. You could watch that, even knowing that they were presenting this as a potential, you know, reality, which, you know, end up none of the stuff they showed on that show was real either.
Did they have the Alien Encounters guy? Because that's really what throws it off. You got that giant hair from that Alien Encounters guy.
No, they didn't. But the actors were so terrible that were playing marine biologists. Anyone with a clue would have to know that doesn't seem, something's not right about that.
Yeah, Greg, I heard later this week they're going to have an episode of Legalodon, which is an ancient shark comprised of plastic toy parts.
Well, you know, that's more realistic than what they showed Sunday. And but here's the difference.
And then waffles, Egolodon.
Megalodon is like, is there a mythical dinosaur out there? That's how far-fetched that was. This year, what they did was pretend that there was a shark incident, a real shark attack, or... issue in South Africa where people were killed, and said they had footage of it, presented it. Now they ran two small little disclaimers
based on crap we made up.
Yeah, and they didn't say it. It just flashed up on the screen for a couple seconds. And but the thing is that they made it look like it was based on an incident that actually happened, and they had like newspaper headlines and all this crap. And you know, and I was like, there's no way this happened. I would have heard about it. And secondly, you know, and then they said they had all this video footage because people on the whale watching boat had their cell phones and they're doing little selfies and stuff like this. I will give them credit. The fakeumentary that they presented on Shark Week this year was way better produced. They obviously had a bigger budget and better actors, because when I was watching it, knowing it, I was like, there's no way this could be true, but is it based on some incident that they're blowing way out of proportion? Ends up that wasn't even the case, but I had to go find that out by Googling it and finding out, oh, no, it's not even based on a real incident, or even a close, you know, not even a fidgen of...
A fidgen?
Factual
evidence. Is that an
evidence.
Actual unit of measure, a fidgen?
Yeah, a fidgen,
no.
Yes, down in the south, it is.
Is that a fake pigeon?
It's no, I believe it's true, and they got this footage from the Blair Fish Project.
Yeah, well, that very well could be.
Producers would like to thank the state of Washington and its new approach towards, you know, like marijuana, man.
Yeah, well, it
really
could be.
Helped out in the screenwriting process, man. And some Twinkies. We want to thank Twinkies, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, but once again, when you take this whole fakeumentary to the level of basing it on a supposed incident that never happened, you know, and the only way you're going to know this is if you actually go out and do the Google search yourself. I mean, CJ, you called me Monday. We were talking on the phone, and you remember this conversation?
Yeah.
I said, did you see Shark Week? He goes, yeah, I watched about 30 minutes of that, and I had to turn it off. That was a terrible incident, but I can't believe they're exploiting this tragic situation, and it's going to be bad for sharks, right?
Yeah, because it looked totally real.
You thought it was real.
I was like, that's horrible, but why are they showing this?
Yeah.
Can I point out again that the problem is that people are stupid?
It isn't people.
Me included.
Bill, you didn't see this.
Right. No, because I'm not stupid, so I didn't watch it.
Well, this one was a little more real looking.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Megalodon.
Bill, if you would have watched it, you would have thought that it was based on a real incident. I even thought that maybe it was based on an incident that I had overlooked, but I knew they were blowing it way out of proportion.
Well, it was on TV, so I thought it's got to be true.
Well, TV used to have a little bit more credibility than the web. But now I'm not so sure if it does at all. Well, and the thing is, it's the Discovery Channel. It is the Discovery. It's Shark Week. You know, I understand they do they have to do the specials where they're breaking down shark attacks and they got to play up the Jaws thing. That's the good and the bad part of Shark Week that I told you that I was having trouble with back in the day. But, you know, you took a little bit of that, but then they worked in some of the environmental things and the tagging and some of the research that they were presenting, and it was like, okay, that's not bad. But they definitely have tipped the scales in the bad stuff. We'll continue this on the other side. I'm just getting started. Trust me.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Tip coming up here momentarily on the big show, but we're talking about Shark Week at Scuba Radio Shark Week Therapy. We have a couch set up here in the studio. Feel free to have a seat and vent accordingly. I'm just not happy because I just feel they have, the Discovery Channel has finally crossed a line that, you know, and I know I'm not alone. If you Google any of this, like Shark Week fake documentary or fakeumentary or mockumentary, Scuba or Shark Week shows fake, you'll see all this stuff pop up online.
The only acceptable deviation from a true documentary is a rockumentary.
There you go.
Because those go to 11.
That's right.
There you go. Okay. I agree with you on that one. Maybe that's what they need to do because they need to change their tack. I mean, I understand ratings
shark
are ratings.
Shark footage set to rock music.
But that submarine show, going back to the difference between that and what they did last year with this Megalodon thing, you had to think, okay, they're saying there could be a dinosaur out there, whatever. This one, they said, was based on an incident that happened in South Africa that never happened, and they had all this footage. They made the shark out that it actually ate three people, and that it's lurking, it had developed new skills, that it could stay still in the water and wait there and and stalk its prey, all this stuff that is like straight off of a Jaws movie. I mean, honestly, this would have been a great film in the theater or presented as a horror flick. But it was presented as a documentary on the Discovery Channel for Shark Week. And, they pretend to present this front that, hey, we all love sharks and we are here to educate the public on sharks and blah, blah, blah. But then they do this. I mean, come on. This is just, to me, it was too far. I mean, honestly, when you brought up Sharknado, Bill, the truth of the matter is, if they would have, you know, debuted Sharknado 2 on Shark Week for the Discovery Channel, that would have been 10 times better than what Shark Week did this year. It's a disgrace. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. I got more to say, but feel free to chime in, 888-88-SCUBA.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 589. For the last time.
Wilma!
Tell your wife that sailfish are not a bargain. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. We're going to the dark side today, right, Nick?
We are indeed, Greg. I thought we'd talk about some night diving tips.
Night diving is pretty cool.
There's little else like it. It never ceases to amaze me how a sight you know intimately by day can totally transform at night.
And the critters that come out. I always wonder where they hide when the sun's out.
I know. They're probably hiding from divers like us.
Well, they're missing out. Good thing we're not afraid of the dark, right? I mean, night diving is a great way to dive, but like so many other types of diving, it does have special considerations that come with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with gear? Surely there's something to consider there.
Well, for the most part, you'll need the same gear you use during the day. But if you're expecting to be colder after the sun goes down, you'll want to adjust your exposure protection accordingly. And of course, there's one piece of gear you'll want to add.
Unless you can see in the dark.
Which most of us can't. So plan to take some lights.
Wait, lights as in plural?
Lights as in plural. For starters, most divers attach a signal light to their tank or regulator yoke. This helps other divers to see and identify them underwater. Most folks use either a tank light or chem light stick for this purpose.
Is there a big difference between the two?
Not really. It's just that chemical light stick is a single-use item, whereas the battery-powered light you can use over and over again.
How about marker lights?
Marker lights, or strobe lights, are usually used to mark key navigation points like anchor lines or reference lines, or to mark entry and exit points. If you're diving with a charter operation or participating in a lead dive, the operation or dive leader usually sets these.
How about the dive lights each diver carries?
Each diver should have at least two dive lights with him. One to use as a primary, and one to have as a backup in case, well, the primary should fail.
What kind of dive light should you use?
Like every other piece of gear, there are multiple options available. Every diver will have a preference, and it's important to find the ones that work for you.
How about head-mounted versus handheld?
Again, that's a matter of preference, but one advantage the handheld light has is that they offer a great versatility in terms of positioning, and they're easy to control. This can be beneficial if you're new to night diving.
So aside from gear, what other safety considerations do you have to take into account when night diving?
I think orientation is the biggest one, but that covers a lot of ground. It's common practice not to dive a sight for the first time at night because even the most familiar sight will look different after sundown. Take extra time and care to orient yourself. Take note of marker lights so you know in which direction you're swimming from relative to your reference point. You may even take a compass heading so you have a general direction in case you get disoriented.
How about buoyancy control?
Even that's different at night, and you need to take special care to keep track of it. It's much easier to become disoriented at night because your field of vision is so much more limited. You have no peripheral vision. It's easy to lose track of your depth or where you are in relation to things like reefs, wrecks, and other things underwater, or even the surface. Keep an eye on your depth and where you are in relation to your surroundings.
Is there any particular etiquette to observe when night diving?
Yeah, I'd say that falls into two general areas, the first of which pertains to your dive light.
Rule number one, don't blind your buddy.
Absolutely. None of us can see very well when we have light shine directly in our eyes on land, and that's no different underwater.
It's amazing what a natural tendency it is to shine your light in someone's face, though.
Sure it is. A lot of your communication relies on facial expressions and reactions. But learning to use your light as a source and form of communication underwater is all part of learning to night dive.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, you can use your light to convey underwater signals like okay, or to get someone's attention, or to make a sign of distress. Similarly, when you get your buddy's attention and you want to follow up with a hand signal, shine your light down and convey the signal in the light's beam. It'll be easy to see, and your buddy will be able to see it.
You can also use your light if you get lost or separated, can't you?
You sure can. Sometimes, if you get separated from your buddy or group, it's hard to see them because of your own light. If that happens, hold your light against you. Don't turn it off, because it'll dim the light enough to allow you to see other lights in the water.
Does that really work?
It sure does.
Voice of experience.
Yep.
So what's the second area of etiquette?
Well, that one really pertains to the creatures you'll encounter. There are some truly amazing creatures that come out at night. But remember that unlike the creatures you see during the day, the natural light level is darkness. Your light is not natural. Try not to spook them too much.
And I'd say be careful not to blind them either.
Exactly. Remember that just as you are blinded when the light is shined in your eyes, so too are they. And in some cases, blinding them with a light or camera strobe can leave them vulnerable. So be aware and careful of that.
And this is where your buoyancy tip comes in again, because there's a lot of creatures that come out at night, aren't there?
You're absolutely right. And that makes bumping against a reef especially hazardous at night, both to you and the nocturnal creatures that inhabit it.
There's a lot to learn about night diving.
There is a lot to learn. And while we've covered some basic tips, it's definitely worth your time to take a specialty class to learn more about it. It's a fascinating and fantastic way to dive, but it's important to know what you're doing and how to do it right.
The world you come to know underwater can become a whole new world at night. But before you jump in to explore it, learn about the special considerations you need to know to stay safe. We know you're not afraid of the dark. Just make sure you know how to traverse it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And I got to tell you that Divers Alert Network released a new program last week on their website. Go to dan.org. They have travel insurance now. They've changed it around, upgraded it. It's pretty impressive. You'll hear more details about that in the coming weeks here on the big show. But in the meantime, go to dan.org and insure your travel around the world, whether it's diving or otherwise, and they'll cover you quite well. All right, so Shark Week is what we're talking about on the big show today. It's basically a therapy session for me and you, if you care to sit down on the Scuba Radio couch, because I'm just perturbed at what they put out there this week. Now, granted, there were some shows on Shark Week that were your typical, we're tagging the sharks and finding out where they migrate to and doing some good research and that kind of thing. So, you know, there was some good information put out there. But when they throw a show on like The Wrath of Submarine, that's based on an incident that never happened where three people were eaten and they have it on film and they're showing it as a documentary.
Was that the one, Greg, where they had like an underwater oil platform camera and it shows the giant shark coming?
No, that was Megalodon.
Oh, that was Megalodon?
That was the Megalodon one. Wow. Well, actually, they may have shown that one on there, too.
I don't remember. Looks so fake.
Yeah, but that was from last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it was fake. And they put these clips, actually, on that one, they put those clips out on YouTube.
Wow.
And made it like, you know, to give it more credibility, but they had done it themselves and it was exposed as a big hoax. Just like the mermaid show was a big hoax on Animal Planet and that kind of thing. But the difference here, once again, is the fact that, you know, when you throw a show out there like that and people think this is based on a real incident that happened to these poor saps off of South Africa that were going out on a whale watching trip, and then they get eaten by a shark, and then they act like the shark was actually stalking them, just like the movie Jaws, by the way. I mean, it was so Jaws-like. It was ridiculous. And I wouldn't have a problem, once again, if it was a movie or they were putting that out as a legitimate type of entertainment thing. But as a documentary on Shark Week, and people think, you know, despite your frustration with Shark Week over the years, and I'm amongst that group, you know, it's they still have an element of credibility, a little bit, that when you tune into Shark Week, you expect to at least come away with some, you know, educational element of shark ecology or whatever, or behavior that's somewhat based in realism. You know, when they break down the shark attacks, I don't like those shows because it's all about, oh, well, it took my arm off and I had so many stitches and you see all this graphic stuff. But you know what? It's based in reality. They got to do what they got to do. And I understand that. But, you know, this, when they just make stuff up, I mean, there's plenty of other crap that they can cover that's just as sensationalistic without having to make stuff up. Am I alone here, gang?
No, we're with you.
Bill, what do you think?
Well, I think it's actually worse than that.
How so?
Well, it's worse because the creature that's supposed to have been in this show is also supposed to have been a megalodon.
Well, no, it isn't. They said it was just a really large great white.
Well, that's not what they said in their release.
It was on steroids.
Submarine? They're saying it was a megalodon?
A megalodon
layover?
Related to megalodon. And yes, maybe this does still exist. But they used the science that exists about the megalodon.
Fakalodon.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Pescado Diabolico, the evil god of sharks.
Sharks?
Yep. The story goes that one night when the sea winds moan, old Shark Face will walk upon the land, and all his man-eaters will leave the briny deep and follow him, driving all of us humans back into the sea.
My head is like a shark, yeah.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am annoyed. I'm just pissed off, really, is more or less what's going on. And, you know, it's just annoying that that, you know, Discovery Channel feels that they have to pull this crap and play the kind of garbage that they did, Wrath of Submarine. Hey, Bill, I'm still not getting it, if you can do anything.
All right, I'll try.
Lost our headphones a little bit, yeah.
I can hear you.
There we go.
Unfortunately.
What? What
I mean, no, it sounds good here.
Oh, thanks.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear, my friend.
So, you know,
Craig's so stupid. Look at him. He can't hear us, so don't worry about it.
In defense of Shark, well, there is no defense of Shark Week. Here's what they put out when people started raising hell about this online after the Wrath of Submarine aired. One of their releases said, Submarine is a legendary shark first sighted off of South Africa in 1970. Which, by the way, isn't necessarily true. If you Google the legend of Submarine and actually find stories, the thing is, supposedly, local newspaper in South Africa put out a story about a giant shark. They dubbed Submarine as kind of like an April Fool's joke. And put it out in the paper with the idea of like, hey, let's put this story out and see how many people start saying they've seen it. So it was supposedly started as a hoax, and then it grew from there. And you can Google that for yourself and decide. But regardless whether that part is true or not, they continue on and say, with 95% of the ocean still unexplored, legends have sprung up over the years for many sightings of these giant sea creatures. So now they've even opened it up outside the shark realm. Submarine's existence is highly controversial, and the Wrath of Submarine explores this legend. Now, at no point...
It's highly controversial in that we've made it up completely.
Right.
And people who are professionals and scientists say it's stupid and therefore controversial.
Yeah. Well, at no point during the show did they talk about exploring the legend, from what I recall, at least. And as far as the events being dramatized... As they go on to continue to say, you know, this disclaimer was posted twice during the show. But, I mean, literally, it was like a second or two. And it was the way it was worded, too, it was like kind of like, what? You didn't even know what it meant. It kind of came and went so fast.
Was it written in South African?
Well, it was just the way it was worded. It was kind of like, it wasn't like it just said like some of the events have been dramatized. You know, didn't really go into detail, of course, of the fact that all of it had been dramatized.
Some of these details may not be correct and true in that none of these details are correct and true.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Some is a subset of all.
You know, even the three people that were supposedly eaten on this show, they had video footage of one of the ladies talking to her camera when they're shooting selfies at the dock before they go off on this whale watching trip, and she's
eating.
How
convenient!
Yes, but it's—I don't know. I know I'm preaching to the choir here in the studio, but as I know for a fact, if you look online and you see all the threads, the forums, the people that bothered to go do this, and then they find out this was fake. I mean, here's the kicker. I actually pulled up some of the threads on this stuff. And believe it or not, even the news media was hosed on this story, Bill.
Because they're stupid.
No.
I believe we've covered this already.
You didn't
CK's
see it.
A part
you
of
keep
it.
Saying
CK's
that.
CK's a part of the problem.
If I thought that
no,
it was...
I turned it off. I quit watching.
Honestly, if I thought...
It was a bunch of malarkey.
If it was Sharknado... I mean, anybody in their right mind would know that's a big hose, and that, you know, that's pretty obvious.
Which is a cross between a shark and a tomato, which is ridiculous.
You didn't see the show, obviously. That's not quite right.
Well, they have clamato.
Clamato, yeah.
Which
clamato.
Is, like...
That's more of a drink.
Scallops and
a
blood.
Kind of thing, right?
I don't think that's true.
It's a giant clam.
So, yeah.
You know what? I take it all back. CJ, you are stupid.
That's not very nice.
No, I kid.
Horribly accurate, but not very nice.
Yeah, you could have worded it differently.
He's somewhat.
You could have rephrased it.
I'm just dramatizing, that's all. or something. Anyway,
no, Sharkmado is a cross between a shark and Mater from
Disney.
Toy Story.
I don't know, but I'd pay to see that, though.
Not Toy Story. Cars.
Cars,
well, they're both animated.
Larry the Cable Guy, yeah. We bring him into this. Anyway, here's the thing. You know,
he's got acid reflux really bad.
Did you guys know? Prilosec, yeah. So it's really not that bad.
It's really a problem. Get her to-
He is a great jet ski driver, though. Holy cow.
He'd be good as the voice of submarine.
Well, I tell you what, that big old shark. Yeah. Boy,
I'm going to eat him.
What the hell is
You know,
this
we can't
right?
afford him.
Eat or done!
You know, we can't afford Larry the Cable Guy. He's too big. But maybe we could recruit Jerry the Diaper Guy. Maybe we get him.
We there you get go. Him.
All right.
If
well,
we could get him.
Our Scuba Radio Shark Week therapy continues in hour two. Stick around. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
These little snails, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot, 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 hot,
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.